الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In our part of the world in which we live and in which we are in right now, we are very, very blessed to live in relative safety, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, by the praise and the thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us homes, schools, workplaces, community centers, mosques, places in which we can go and we can rest and we can live and we can take care of our business and we can learn and we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can do all of that in a pretty safe environment, alhamdulillah. At the same time, we know that we can feel the heat, the temperature rising. We can feel that there is a growing feeling of fear amongst people in our community, ourselves, our families, our children, our wives, our husbands, our parents. And at the same time, we sense that there is fear also catching on within our neighbors and our co-workers and our fellow citizens. So in the general population, the fear appears to be that a Muslim or someone claiming to be a Muslim might hurt me, might do something to me that I don't want. And within the Muslim community and the Muslim population, we are starting to sense now that there is a fear that someone may hurt me or may be rude to me or may do something to me simply because I am a Muslim. And unfortunately, this is the type of environment in which we are finding ourselves more and more so. We have witnessed in the past few days the very tragic deaths of two of our sisters and one of our brothers, sisters Yusuf and Razan, and our brother Dhiya in North Carolina. And this is a tragedy which has affected and touched many, many people. And we are also noticing incidents, and they have occurred in the past, but perhaps it's the environment and they appear to be happening closer together. Incidents at masajid, at mosques, and Islamic centers. And when people are afraid, when you are afraid of something or someone, it's natural that we try to figure out which types of people we should be afraid of. It's a human thing. It's human nature. That if you feel risk or if you feel afraid, if you want to know who should I be afraid of, what should I be afraid of? And sometimes this is not a very rational process. It's very emotional. We want to be careful around certain types of people. We want to avoid, perhaps, certain types of people because we don't want to be in a bad situation. We want to protect ourselves. So we start avoiding people, we start fearing people. But let us ask ourselves, do we like it if people do that to us? So if a person is afraid of me simply because I'm a Muslim, or if a person tries to avoid me and doesn't want to sit beside me on the plane or on the bus because I'm a Muslim, then that is something which I do not like. That is something which I do not appreciate. We actually hate that. We speak out against discrimination. We speak out against stereotyping. Because we know that it is irrational. I haven't done anything wrong, nor am I planning to. I am not intending to hurt anyone. I am not planning to commit any illegal acts. So why are people afraid of me? Why are they trying to avoid me? So we know it is irrational and it is wrong. But what happens is many times we also end up generalizing about others without evidence because of fear. And we suspect, and this is human nature, we suspect and we become afraid and perhaps even paranoid. Right? Paranoia takes over. And we start getting worried and concerned, and perhaps rightfully so, but the way it comes out is not always appropriate. So perhaps because of this fear, we start becoming suspicious and afraid of anyone who is not one of us, however you like to define us. Right? We start being suspicious of people. Perhaps we start being suspectful of particular races or ethnicities, particular groups of people, or particular looks. Right? And that is the fear that, oh, because now people are thinking so negatively about Islam and Muslims that everyone's going to hate me now. That's the assumption we start making. And that assumption is not always true. In many cases, it is not true. So first of all, let us talk about suspicion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Now these verses in which this statement is found were revealed with regards to the relation between Muslims. But the message is clear that there are some forms of suspicion that can be sinful. There can be some forms of suspicion which can be sinful. So there's a suspicion that I may have, I may feel it inside of me, but it may actually be a sin to be thinking that way and to be looking at things with that perspective. So which forms of suspicion are these? These are those that are unfounded, which are baseless. Suspicions which are not based on any facts. They're not based on any evidence. Now, if there is something to suggest it, so let's say we don't have clear-cut evidence about a particular person or a particular group of people that they may be trying to harm someone else or anything like that, but we have our suspicions, like we are unsure, based on something that we see, based on something that we have observed, then perhaps it's okay, we want to be a little bit more careful, take some precautions, be a little bit more cautious. So for example, if we have a neighbor who's had run-ins with the law, and you know you have a neighbor and you know there's stuff you hear going on from their home, especially in the summertime, and the police is there often or regularly coming to that home, then you may have reason to be somewhat suspicious. I remember when I moved to Kingston, pulled up the U-Haul, backed it up into the driveway, and fellow walks over. Hey, you know, how's it going? Okay, you're moving here. Okay, so I'm like, okay, that's fine. He's like, oh, what do you have in the truck? He's like, oh, you got lots of new furniture, you got lots of new electronics. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. Okay, so now my guard's going up. And okay, why is this person, you know, asking me, you know, all of these questions, which are like out of the ordinary. Normal neighbors don't really just come over and start asking you what you have in your truck and if you've bought new furniture and, you know, if you have like nice TVs and stuff like that. I didn't, but, you know, so that gave me a reason, you know, to be somewhat, you know, cautious, a little bit more careful and in how, you know, I behave in what I did. So the guidelines for suspicion is that if it's caused by actual action or behavior of a person that is uncharacteristic for a person in that position, then perhaps you may have a reason to be somewhat suspicious. But it can't just be based on association or just an identifiable group. So, oh, now I'm, you know, suspicious of all the people who look like that person. Or now I've become suspicious of, you know, everyone from that ethnicity or that skin color. This is wrong. This is wrong. So our suspicions can't be just based on feelings towards other groups of people and stereotyping. If we have a reason about an individual that gives us an indication that there may be something amiss, then we may be suspicious, we may behave a little bit cautiously and carefully, but we can't start painting everyone with the same brush. So that's number one about suspicion. Secondly, when it comes to fear and insecurity, these are natural feelings. These are natural feelings. We're human beings. You know, a lot of times, you know, you're driving out in the woods, out west, and you come across a bear. You've never seen a bear before. Okay, and you're parked and it starts shaking your car. Of course you're going to feel a little bit afraid. Most people will. Right? So it's natural to have feelings of fear and insecurity. But at the same time, if they go overboard, they can cause many problems and stress and anxiety. So if you just start becoming afraid of anyone and everyone, and we start living in an environment of fear, this is problematic. This is going to chip away at our peace of mind and peace in our hearts. So this is not an environment we want anyone to be living in. Not ourselves, not our communities, not our societies. Nowhere in the world do we want fear. So for example, nowadays, you know, we might be afraid of going outside, being identified as a Muslim, perhaps going to the masjid, perhaps coming to a place like this for prayer, perhaps staying home alone, and so on and so forth. There's different forms, different ways that people can become afraid because of what we hear and what we see is happening around us. So the first thing we should do is figure out the cause. Okay, what exactly is causing this fear? Why are we feeling afraid? What is it that is making us afraid? And once we figure that out, then we look at the reasonable precautions that we can take. What are reasonable precautions? What are reasonable steps that we can take to protect ourselves? You know, sometimes people are afraid just being at home for one reason or the other. If you've had a break and enter at your home, right, you might be afraid to be home alone. Or you might have family members who are afraid to be home alone. Or if you feel that the homes of Muslims are being targeted, then you may also feel afraid to be at home. So we take it rationally. We say, okay, let's do a security assessment of our home. Okay, perhaps it might be a good idea to put in an extra lock. Or have other security devices, secure the windows, have a security system, have cameras, whatever. You take reasonable steps. If you're worried about your personal safety, it might be a good idea to learn self-defense techniques. Research items that you can carry to protect yourself. Have a cell phone, right, handy. Look up safety tips. For example, if you're driving, right, and you feel that someone is following you, well, first of all, be aware of your surroundings. Right? Be aware. Don't just be like lost in thought all the time, not aware of what's going on around you. Okay, so be aware of your surroundings. And if someone's actually following you, well, don't pull over. Don't corner yourself in a parking lot. Right? Keep driving. Call 911. Call the police. Okay. Be cautious. If you're afraid of going out alone, then perhaps go out in pairs. You know, stick with the jama'ah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ has given us as instruction, right? Stay with the jama'ah. Stay with the body the believers. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that you're going to carry all 500 people everywhere you go, right? Obviously. But, you know, stick together, be a part of the community, be connected with others within the community, and that way, inshallah, you will feel a sense of security, and you will get that as well, inshallah. So the point is that we do what we can to prepare, to be cautious. Okay, we take reasonable steps. But then, we have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one day noticed a Bedouin leaving his camel without tying it. Leaving his camel without tying it. Is that a good idea? Okay. That's like, you know, leaving your car keys in your car. And actually people still do that apparently some places. You know, like, they have so much trust in their community, in their village. Different parts of the world, even in Canada, that people still won't lock their front doors. Right? They leave their keys inside their cars. Okay, because they trust people and they say nothing ever happens around here. Until something happens and then everyone starts being careful, right? But okay, the Prophet ﷺ noticed that there was a person who had left their camel untied. So he asked the person, he asked him, why don't you tie down your camel? Why don't you tie down your camel? Prophet ﷺ was concerned, like, this camel's gonna take off. You know, which camel likes to be, you know, sat on and, you know, being used as transportation and carrying heavy loads? You know, see, he's free, he's going to take off. So the person answered, he replied, that I put my trust in Allah. I put my trust in Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a very simple instruction, but it's like a very important lesson for all of us. Where he said, tie your camel first, then put your trust in Allah. Tie your camel first, then put your trust in Allah. Okay? So don't be naive. Okay? Don't leave the car running. Right? Leave the car, the keys in the car. Leave the doors unlocked, windows down, sunroof open in the summertime, obviously not in this weather. Okay? And then just say, I put my trust in Allah. No, that's not the way. Yes, of course, you should have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a way of going about it. And the way of going about it is that you actually take reasonable, practical means first. And then you place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course, we must have faith and trust in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also have to take reasonable steps, whatever we are able to take. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us spiritual weapons of self-defense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us spiritual weapons of self-defense, of protecting ourselves. For example, reciting Suratul Falaq. Reciting Suratul Falaq. قُلَ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Right? Because in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us, telling us to seek His protection from mischief of various things, of created things, the mischief of darkness, the mischief of those who practice secret arts like magic and so on, and those who are envious. So if you actually study the surah, it's quite, you know, encompassing, and it covers pretty much all types of evil. So Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, Mu'awwidhatayn, right? Especially recommended for protection from all types of evil. Reciting Surah Ikhlas, Falaq, and Surah An-Nas at the time of bed, something which is proven from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to recite these du'as, to blow and then to wipe it over yourself. The last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam said that the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, whoever recites them at night, they will be sufficient for him. They will be sufficient for that person. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he comments on this, he says that they will be sufficient. It was said that it means that they will suffice instead of praying Qiyam al-Layl, instead of offering the Tahajjud prayer. And it was also said that they will suffice that person against the shaitan or against harm. Right, so various things which are covered here. And he goes on to say that it may be understood as meaning all of these things. So all of these things will serve, all of these things will be covered by reciting the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah at night. And finally, if we try our best, right? We've tried our best. Okay, so we've taken reasonable steps for having protection. Okay, whether it's at home in the masjid or while we're going out and about taking care of our business, we've taken reasonable steps. We've placed our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, after that, anything that happens after that, and by the way, this is not just related to current circumstances, this could be a fear of anything. Okay, because people have different types of fears, right? So if you have fears of, I don't know, flying, or if you have fears of, getting sick, or whatever it is, any type of fear, this is the way to go about dealing with it. So number one, figuring out what's causing the fear, taking reasonable steps to protect against it, placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, whatever happens, even if something happens that we were fearing, accept it as the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, says that one day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, "Young man, I shall teach you some words of advice." So you know you need to pay attention to this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving advice, especially to a young person. Okay, so this is something to take note of for all of us, especially our young ones. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, He's listening to you. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have His full protection and His mercy and His guidance and His blessings. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if a nation, or if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And if they gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Meaning that if people are to gather, if people were to gather together to give you something, to grant you something, you would only get as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already willed. And if the nation, if everyone gathered together to harm you, they would only be able to harm you as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written, has already prescribed. Okay? So meaning there are some things which are in our control, there are some things which are not in our control. Those are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided, has already decreed. What is in our control, that is in our control. We are responsible for making choices with regards to those matters. But once we have done our best to make the right choice, it's in the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah azza wa jalla tells us in the Quran, قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Right? Say that everything, all is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever negativity comes after trying our best, we accept it as a test or as a punishment, a prescription from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in either case, whether it's a test or a punishment, we don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The response is the same. We use it as a signal, as a reminder to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to turn towards Him, to connect with Him. And be patient. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Really Allah Azza wa Jalla is with those who are patient. And remember, fear, if you're going to fear anyone, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of others. If you're going to fear someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deserves to be feared. Allah says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. It is but shaitan who instills into you the fear of his allies. So fear them not, but fear me if you are truly believers. So if you're really, really going to be afraid about something, of something, just be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because nothing can happen without His will. Nothing can happen without His permission. And if something happens after you've tried your best, then it is from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Sometimes the reaction is to flee from Allah. Oh, people are hating on Muslims. It's taboo, you know, to talk about Islam or to be seen as a Muslim. So let us shift away from Islam and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it doesn't help in the long run. It does not help in the long run, because at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is actually going to make things happen and make things work out for us. So my brothers and sisters, let us live a righteous life. Let us solidify our connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what trials are all about. Trials and challenges are about connecting with Allah and solidifying our connection with Allah. Be a person of integrity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards others. Establish a beautiful footprint in this world. You know, we are leaving footprints in this world as we pass through it. And we are going to be gone one day. So let us leave beautiful footprints. Let us help others, be kind, be loving, be humble, be caring. Fight the fear and ignorance with love and sweetness. And this is what our three winners, our two sisters and our brother were doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon them and grant them the highest levels of Jannah. They left a legacy and a footprint of beauty in this world, of service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of service and kindness towards others. And this is what we should be looking at as an example. I will finish with a few verses of the Quran which I came across, and it just reminded me of my two sisters and my brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Indeed, those who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And those who believe in the signs of their Lord, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. And those who do not associate anything with their Lord, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And those who give what they give with their hearts, while their hearts are fearful, because they will be returning to their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. It is those who hasten to good deeds and they outstrip others therein. وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا وَلَدَيْنَا كِتَابٌ يَنْطِقُ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And we charge no soul except with that within its capacity. And with us, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a record which speaks with truth, and they will not be wronged. These are the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we move forward, we continue to serve Him, we continue to serve others as worship to Him, and we continue to fear only Him and no one else. Continue forward with goodness, continue with the work, continue with the message of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must not let fear overcome us. Let us take reasonable precautions, place our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anything happens after that, we accept it as Allah's will. And inshaAllah, we continue to solidify our connection with Him. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from unfounded suspicions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all forms of harm, all types of fear and paranoia, all types of evil, and all types of trials. Ameen wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Very few quick announcements. Inshallah, this evening we will be having a documentary showing our program.